bless you and we honor you. Lord, we thank you that the darkness can never extinguish your light. In the midst of social unrest, uncertainty in our nation, in the midst of COVID-19 and increasing cases, Lord, you do not change. Your name is Alpha and Omega, faithful and true, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. You hold all history in your hands, and we honor you, and we bless you. We thank you, Lord, for Shamar, Lord, that you are the God who keeps us, that you are the God who guards us. You are the one who watches over us. You do not slumber, nor do you sleep. And we praise you, and we bless you, and we honor you in this place. We honor you wherever we are. We exalt you as holy. We exalt you as good. We exalt you as the one who sees us. Perfect love casts out all fear. We thank you for Holy Spirit, who is our comforter, who is our friend, who is our teacher, who is the one who comes alongside. And as Rich was playing that prelude this morning, Lord, I just thought some of us need that. We need that holy comforter. We need a hug. So, Lord, I just pray you would come and you'd hug your people today. Lord, you just envelop them with your love. You would envelop them with your peace. I pray, Holy Spirit, you would shed abroad the love of Jesus in our heart. Perfect love casts out all fear. The Spirit of God, come. Love, come. Holy Spirit, shed abroad the love in our hearts right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. You're good. You are good. And Lord, we pray for our prayer requests this morning. We pray for baby Henry, who's having surgery on Tuesday, to continue to repair that cleft lip, cleft palate. Lord, that baby is alive because of you. Lord, a year ago, we were pleading for his life. And Lord, we thank you, Jesus, that you brought him thus far. And Lord, we ask healing and complete closure of that palate. We pray that you would guide the doctor's hand. And Lord, you would bless baby Henry. Thank you for 1 year of life. And Lord, we pray peace on he, on Danielle and Jacob, on Abby and Adam. Lord, I pray you would keep them safe from COVID. Lord, your word says be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So we just pray peace over them. Pray you'd protect them, Lord, from COVID. And Lord, you'd be a shield. They're coming and they're going, Lord. You'd just be a shield all around about them. Father, we pray for Tom and Mary Beth Woolard, who were exposed to COVID. They're in their quarantine, Lord. I just pray peace on them. I pray, Father, that you would protect them and that they wouldn't get it. And Lord, I pray for everyone that is suffering today, everyone that has been exposed, that has it, that is suffering, that is struggling breathing. We just command their lungs to be clear in the name of Jesus Christ, all inflammation to go in their bodies. And Lord, we just speak peace and healing over those that are suffering today, those that are fearful and in turmoil. Lord, we just speak shalom. We speak the peace of God over them in the name of Jesus. We pray, Father, for the passing of Terry McMahon and Lyndall's cousin. Jesus, we ask your peace, your comfort to be upon that family. Pray, Jesus, that you would hold them close. You speak peace. It says in your word that you are the God of all comfort. We ask you to comfort them. us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Father, you are worthy of all of our praise. Lord, all of our wealth, we offer our tithes, our gifts, and our offerings as worship unto you. Lord, receive it, bless the giver, and bless the offering for your kingdom's sake. Lord, in your name, amen. That song is true no matter what our circumstances. as we try to dissect that, you can't. It's a mystery. And anytime anybody ever tries to explain the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you get into some kind of heresy. Because it's a mystery. And it's something we need to bow and just, but it's beautiful who Jesus is, conceived of the Holy Spirit. And then we're born of the Spirit if we believe in him. Last week we talked about Nicodemus. And Nicodemus didn't understand it. Jesus, you know, what must I do to be saved? And you have to be born again. You have to be born again. And Nicodemus didn't get that because he had his own little boxes. And it's supernatural. We are born again by the Spirit if we believe that Jesus was the Son of God, died on the cross for our sins, is resurrected. It's supernatural. And we are born of the Spirit. And as we walk that out, there are beautiful illustrations of what it looks like to walk in the Spirit. Because I would submit to you the Christmas spirit. A lot of people are already taking down their Christmas decorations. The Christmas spirit, the joy that we feel, the family, the intimacy we feel at Christmas. Y'all, that's Jesus. A lot of that's the Spirit of Jesus. And how can we keep that alive all year around? And last week we looked at Zechariah. And the Lord, like, keep the supernatural alive. The Lord will come to us when it's too late. The angel appears to him and says, your prayer's been heard. And he and his wife are beyond childbearing years. God heard his prayer when it was seemingly too late. And we need to remember that. And it's shocking in Scripture when you actually look at it. Because is God ever early in any circumstance in the Bible? Is he ever early? Uh-uh. It's always late to us. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And so for Zechariah, the angel tells him this, and he's all stuck, and he seems like, you know, just kind of looking at him in Scripture, I think he's a little angry, and I think he's a little bitter. How can I do this? And he gets in trouble because he didn't believe the word of the Lord. But we need to remember, God comes through when it is too late. And then with Mary, the mother of Jesus, God comes to us or through us in a brand new way. It was prophesied that the Son of God, the Messiah, was going to come, that he was going to be born of a young woman, born of a virgin. That was prophesied. But Mary, would Mary ever have thought that that was going to be her? No. And yet this miraculous thing, the angel comes to her and tells her, greetings, highly favored one. You found favor with the Lord. And he tells her, what's going to happen? And she said, well, how can this be since I'm a virgin? And the angel tells her, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. And what is going to be born is that he's going to be holy. He's going to be called the Son of God. And Mary, it's so beautiful. And she's such a model for us. She says, let it be to me according to your word. She didn't argue. She didn't say, well, that's going to cost too much. That's going to cost me my fiance. It's going to cost me my life. I don't think so. She humbly surrendered. And God wants to do something through you all. What is the answer to our country right now? What is the answer? It's God's people, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, getting on our knees, repenting of our sin, repenting of our arrogance, repenting of all of the things that we trusted in rather than Jesus. We are the floodgates through whom he wants to come. And we need to yield and humble ourselves and just say, Lord, use me. Use me. Flow through me. This isn't a line anymore. There's never been a time, but, or, you know, Christians standing on the fence. No, pick your side. What side are you on, light or dark? Who do you, and we need to stand for him. We need to yield. We need to humble ourselves. We need to repent. He wants to come through us in a brand new way. And the third supernatural encounter I want to pick up with, it's Elizabeth. I want to look Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Verse 36 through 45. When the angel has come to Mary, and I love this. This is so, so, so beautiful. Luke chapter 1, verses 36 through 35. Let's go back to 35. What am I? 36 through 45, sorry. 36 through 45. That'd be interesting, right? 36 through 35. Woo. All right. 36 through 45. And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God. A lot of us need to meditate on that. Put that one on your journal and memorize that one. Nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Mary was a young woman, very young, teenager. What do you think it would have meant to her that the angel said to her, mentioned Elizabeth? God will come to us in a brand new way. And God deals with us individually. And all of us need to have our own encounter with the Lord. But we have that encounter, and you all, we are never alone. God puts us in family. And this thing that would have, this was going to cost Mary a lot. But he says, your relative is probably an aunt or a great aunt. Your relative Elizabeth. And what does Mary do? What's the first thing she does that the scripture says? In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. God allowed that because Mary was going to need a mama. Mary was going to need somebody to talk to. Mary, there was going to be there's a beautiful relationship there. You have the old woman and the young woman, and the Lord brings them together. And there is a theme in Scripture. Titus chapter 2 is one of them, that old men, you need to mentor the younger men. Old women, we need to mentor the younger women. And I remember I was so dismayed. First time I ever heard a preacher say this. He was like, well, an older woman in the Bible times is 30 years old. I was like, no, no. We need to be reaching out to the younger. We need to be reaching out to them. Does our nation right now need daddies? Do they need fathers? Do the men in our culture, do they need older men to come alongside them and love them and pray for them and nurture them? I would submit to you that's part of the reason why our country is the way that it is. We need daddies. We need men to mentor the younger men. We need women to mentor the younger women. I love Deborah. It talks about Deborah. And you know what it says about her? She was a mother to the nation of Israel. She was a biological mama. She had children, but she was raised up as a woman as a mother in Israel. We need to reach out to the young ones. That means your children. It means your grandchildren. Those homeless teenagers that are wandering around. What's the Lord calling us to do? We all need to be praying about that. We need to be praying about that. What's the Lord calling me to do? What's the Lord calling us to do? What's he saying? Number one, we need to be praying for them. But we all have a responsibility in reaching out to the younger. God did not leave her alone. The angel mentioned Mary, Elizabeth, to Mary, just as an encouragement. Mary, you're not alone. Mary said yes to the hard. She said yes. But the scriptures say that the Lord sets the lonely in families. And we need one another. We need that. So, and you all have done so well in calling and texting and sending cards to everybody. Continue to do that. Not only to each other, but to the younger ones. They need nurture. They need encouragement. They need, you all, even though us older folk, we've made mistakes, hopefully we've learned from that. And you might think, well, I don't have anything to say. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. All of us have wisdom. And we need to be humble enough to learn from the young ones. Because they've got something to teach us as well. So there's this mutual thing. One of the things that makes me so sad in church is how we tend to separate. We seem to separate the generations. I don't see that in Scripture. We need one another. The young ones need to be in with us. They need to, in families. I didn't see this a lot until I was probably 17 years old. My mother started having devotions with us when we were late, when we were late teenagers. But as families, pray together. Pray together. Read your Bibles together. And children will glean. They walked in. Verse 41. When Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." God confirmed his will through Elizabeth. And when we get something from the Lord, something as profound as Mary did, and do you think Mary was afraid? I think she was. What do you think it meant when Elizabeth confirmed the word for her? I'm not crazy. This is real. This is real. And we need to mentor. We need one another, because the Lord is speaking to all of us. And he's not just going to speak it to you. He's going to speak it through others. And we need each other. We need each other. We need each other. God will confirm his will through others. Supernatural encounter number 4. Let's look at Joseph. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And I love this. Look at this. The angel's talking to him, and then he starts quoting scripture to Joseph. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Joseph, in the natural, looks at all this and is like, this isn't good. And instead, he had the right to stone her. He had the right, but it says he was a just man. He's going to do that quietly because he's thinking about it in the natural. He's thinking about it just what his eyes see. But he has a dream. He has a dream. And the Lord brings correction to him in that dream. And as we walk with the Lord is going to correct us, because all of us, we tend to think really, and I've talked about this last week, we tend to think things in boxes. We tend to put God in little tiny little boxes, and God's really good at busting our little boxes, kicking the sides out of the boxes. He's really good at that, and he wants to bust our boxes. And so he's looking at it like this, and what we learn from Joseph is the Lord brings correction. God may come to us to bring correction. When we're just looking merely in the natural, when we're just looking really, really small, we need to continually be coming to the Lord with a humble heart. God opposes the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. And if we ever think we have it all figured out, well, we are in trouble, and we need to be learners. One of the things that makes me sad with some preachers, with some professors that I've sat under, is they think, well, okay, 20, 30, 40, 50 years learning theology, I got all the answers, I know it all. No, if we ever get there, we're going to be just like the Pharisees, and they missed him. And so we need to be humble. And sometimes the Lord will come to us, and he will bring correction, and he will bring it through a dream. He did this through a dream. And we see that a lot. He did that with the Magi. He did that, and he brings correction dreams. He did it later when they needed to flee. And Joel chapter 2, we read that. In the last days I will pour out my spirit. My direction to him through a supernatural vision, and he encounters Jesus, and it completely changes him. We see it in Peter in Acts chapter 10, where he is up on a roof, and what does he have? He has a vision, and the Lord gives him a vision of the sheep and all these unclean animals, and he hears the Lord say, "Eat." He's like, "No, Lord, that's all unclean." And the Lord's like, "No, don't call unclean what I've made clean." And what happens through that? The Lord leads him. He's prepared a man called Cornelius. And Peter was stuck in his little box. He's a Jew. And he had issues with the gospel going out of the Gentiles. He didn't really, I don't think he would say that. But in practice, he did. And the Lord needed to blow those corners, blow those sides out of his little box. And he goes and he ministers to Cornelius. The Holy Spirit's poured out. Peter's like, whoa, now I understand. Now I understand the gospel isn't just for Jews. The Lord brought correction. And he'll bring correction to us as we walk with the Lord, as we listen to the Spirit of Jesus, as we listen, as we read his word. He primarily talks to us through his word. And when we read the scriptures, and the scripture is up here, and our lives are down here, we don't bring the scripture down here. We say, "Lord, take me there. Lord, this is what I see in your word, and I need you to change me. I need you, Lord, to conform my heart to what the scripture says." And so that's number one. But he'll also do that through dreams, and he will do that through visions. Listen, our conscience, if you're doing something and you feel kind of that guilt, what is that? It's the Holy Spirit. It's him wanting to say, "Hey, come back here. Come on. You're going. You're on the road, but you're trespassing over here where you shouldn't go. Come on. Come back over here." And he will correct us. He does that with Joseph. He does that with Saul. He does that with Peter. He does that repeatedly through the scriptures. God may come to us to bring correction. And this is my favorite. Luke chapter 2. God may come to us in the mundane, when we are just minding our own business. We're not looking for the Lord. We're just doing our work. God may show up. Let's look at that. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 21. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 21. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. How many times do you think they've been doing this? They're working the night shift. They're out there. They've done this hundreds, thousands of times. While they're minding their own business, they're doing their work, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of the heavenly host. So that wasn't enough. The angels come, all right? They deliver this. And then suddenly there was there's with one angel. Now there's thousands, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Hey, let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. They were just doing their job. And the Lord powerfully encountered them. And sometimes when you're washing dishes, you're sitting in front of the computer, you're doing your job, whatever that is, the Lord may come to you. And we need to pay attention. And we need to take the time in private, take the time devotionally to read, to listen, so that when he comes to us, when we least expect it, we don't miss him. Thorny soil, wasn't enough that Moses saw it. It was when he turned aside, wait a second, what is that? He wasn't too busy. He wasn't too much in a hurry. Wait a second. Whoa, whoa. And he comes over to the bush, and he's attentive, and he's looking at it. And it's when he does that, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And then he calls him. You all, we miss him so often because we're too busy. We're so stuck in our traditions. We're so stuck in our boxes that we don't listen. We're too anxious. We're too busy. And he's speaking and he's around us all the time. May we learn. May we learn through these supernatural encounters when God comes to us when we think it's too late. When God comes to us and he's calling us to a brand new thing, something that we've never thought of before, something that's like, well, I don't think I can do that. When God comes to us and he's told us something, O tidings.